Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now. Brains, we have a wonderful guest here from the United Kingdom. Her name is Chris Ramsbottom. There she is right there. She is the owner of the Amethyst Center. The Amethyst Center is an amazing workspace for therapists, not only to learn, but also work and master their craft in Reiki, in crystals, in holistic treatment. And it's also an educational spot. Chris is talking from experience. She has been on her own spiritual journey and spiritual quest for many years, stemming back from her childhood. She's had her challenges and joys in traditional religious beliefs and doctrines, but she's been called to a higher calling. And we're going to talk to her about that and what she has been able to do. And in addition to that, she's branched out and started her own podcast. So I want to give her some tips and tricks of the trade on how she's going to succeed and maybe even extend an invitation for people that might want to join her on her podcast. So let's welcome her from the UK, Miss Chris Ramsbottom. How are you, beautiful?
Hi, April. Hi, I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you. And you look beautiful in that green pashmina. You know, green is one of my favorite colors. And you told me that for a long time you didn't wear green. Why?
That's right. My father hated green. He wouldn't let anybody in the house wear green. So I just grew up not wearing green. It wasn't until a good friend of mine died a few years ago and her favorite color was green. And we all had to wear green to her funeral. So I went to the charity shop and got some green clothes. I thought, hey, I actually quite like this. So, yeah, I've been wearing green since. And thank you for this. It's fantastic.
Was there any particular reason why your father didn't like green?
I never found that out. No idea.
Well, I love it because it is a sign of the earth and growth and prosperity. So green is definitely a power color and you look good in it. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your upbringing and your quest to find out who you are on a much deeper level, a spiritual level.
Yeah. I was born to, I was the only child. My mother became a born again Christian at a Billy Graham gig in Birmingham. And my father was an equally devout atheist, and he'd actually been a Japanese prisoner of war in World War II and lost any faith he had then. So growing up as a spiritual person in that sort of household was interesting, shall we say. And I decided that when I left home that I was going to run away from it. Just going to go off and do my own thing, complete opposite. But I always had spiritual gifts and they were always in the background and kept calling to me. So after, I guess I didn't really go back there until after my mom and dad both died about 20 years ago. And I became attuned to Reiki. And that's where it all started, I think. Well, you know, the current journey, that's where it started. Yeah.
You know, I bet that was tough growing up with a devout Christian because, you know, Billy Graham could put a preaching on you, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he could. And also with your father, I can understand why he lost all faith being a prisoner of war and, you know, what was rattling around in his brain. There was a lot of trauma there, And if God didn't show up then, you know, but to whom much is given, much is required. And suffering is a part of that because, you know, Jesus Christ suffered on the cross.
Yeah.
But religion, and I say this with love because I believe in my religion too, is also a form of mind control.
Mm.
You know, it is a discipline. Mm. Religion is not spirituality.
No.
They're two totally different things. Define what spirituality means to you.
Well, to me, it's acknowledging your place in the universe, that you're connected to everything literally in the universe. You know, billions of light years away, there are planets out there that we share a connection with, and we're connected to each and everything on this planet as well, whether it's the cat Merlin who's just walked in, or whether it's the fleas that she's got on her, no doubt. You know, we share a connection.
Right.
And to me, spirituality is acknowledging that, and acknowledging that we are just a tiny little fragment of that, and that there is a whole ocean of all the stuff out there that we just cannot know. And when it sort of peeks through into our little universe, into our little worldview and knowledge, obviously we're going to try and make sense of it. And I think a lot of this spiritual practices are us trying to make sense of the greater picture, you know, the greater spirituality.
Well, you know, this is really deep because
yeah.
you know, there was three elements going on. You were the only child, your mother was a devout Christian, your father was an atheist, and you were a spiritualist. You
yeah.
were being visited and talked to
yeah.
and lived with by spirits at a very
yeah.
early age. I
yeah.
remember my daughter had a invisible friend, and
yeah.
I never bothered her about that. She'd take it everywhere we go. I'd have to
yeah.
set a place at the table. And come to find out, it was my husband's dearly departed mother. It was her spirit.
Wow.
How was that growing up as a child? Because you had to suppress a lot of that.
Well, it was always sort of kept for my room when I was alone. I still talk to them. You know, I still, it's not just one, spirit. I have a bunch mm-hmm. of friends, you know, so I still talk to them. And they have kept me sane through some pretty rough patches, including when I was growing up. And, you know, there's a joke which says something like, yes, of course, I talk to myself. It's the only way I can get any sense. But you'd be amazed how often the sense comes through, or the spirits come through, when you start talking to yourself, and you do have a conversation, or you get ideas in the head. I tell you, this happened yesterday. Now I'm thinking to myself, okay, now centre's open, we're not really trading fully, I need to get some money, and what do I do? And all of a sudden, it was as if somebody said to me, well, you need to email your client list to see if any of them want to come and do the Reiki training on Saturday. And I thought, I never thought of that. So it's just as if somebody had just stood there and answered my question for me. So that's exactly what I did. And lo and behold, I've got replies for that. So, you know, it comes in different ways.
Absolutely. You know, I just lost my mother a few months ago, and I was in the bedroom.
Oh, dear.
And her energy was just so heavy in the room. You know, I could smell her, I could feel her, just everything. And I said, Mama, I said, are you here? And she had a very unique way of saying, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I said, mm-hmm. And I said, so how you doing? She says, oh, it's nice up here.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't believe that, but I have seen spirits, you know,
yeah.
and the people call them ghosts. I've seen souls as a child.
Yeah.
I was never afraid.
No.
You know, because they're not all here to help you. But, and I will be honest with you, I've also seen the Grim Reaper.
Mm.
And the Grim Reaper has come shortly after that, within
yeah.
months. So, you know, it's a give and take. But you have to be
yeah.
open to that, and you have to ask for guidance. Who do you work with to help you with mm. your intuitive gift?
Like I say, I got attuned to Reiki, so there's all the support I had from the Reiki community there. But when I set up the Amethyst Centre, it was quite odd. I knew I got to do it. About 6 months later, the local spiritualist church closed down quite suddenly. They were literally across the road from us. And so I got in touch with the congregation, the leaders of the congregation, said, look, you're welcome to come and work from the centre, but I'm not prepared to have any worship here because it's not that sort of place. So I said, fine. And one of their healers came across and has worked at the centre right up until this day. And he has become sort of my spiritual guide, if you like, my spiritual daddy almost. He's well into his 70s now. And he's we share a lot of things. He's got a real good sense of humour. And every so often, he sort of grabbed hold of my shoulder and said, Chris, don't worry, you're doing fine. Don't worry about this. And it don't need to ask me all these questions because you already know all of them as well. And I thought to myself, actually, he's right. A lot of the time when I, was asking him, I was just asking for confirmation of what I already knew.
Right. And it's walking through it and it's trusting it because so many things you're getting these downloads and so many things are happening and you're like, oh, this can't be true. Is this just a figment of my imagination? Because we still have our imagination running. Is this really going to happen? Can I trust this? And then when you tell other people about it, they either think, oh, wow, she's dealing in the, devil worshiping
Oh,
or,
God, yeah.
or she's out of her mind. She's a Looney Tune. But then when they see things manifest, then they're scared. But to each its own, and I'm glad that you are working with someone because this is a journey that you really can't travel on your own. You
No.
have a very special song. I know I looked at one of your videos and you said that, when you go to the great hereafter, there's a certain song. Tell me what that song is and what it means to you.
Oh, there's loads. Do you mean what I'm going to have played at my funeral?
Yes.
Right. Well, I've actually selected three songs for my funeral. The first one is going to be the back end of Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, because I like the what Robert Plant sings at the end. Is, there walks a lady we all know who shines white light and wants to show how everything still turns to gold. And I've always felt that was about me. And when I leave the place, I never thought I'd have anybody turn up to my funeral, to be quite honest. No, nobody'd want to. I had no kids, nobody'd want to come to my funeral.
Are
So
you?
I always said I wanted to have The Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd, because if nobody else is crying for me, and at least I've got Claire Torrey wailing away, the singer on Great Gig in the Sky. So I thought, yeah, I'll have that. I've got so many songs that fulfill that criteria.
Wow. I did a beautiful service for my mother. I had a harp. I had a harpist play. And, I got to thinking about what I would like. What is a legacy that you want to be known for that you leave behind when you do pass away?
I mean, that's part of the reason for the Amethyst Centre, I think. I've got past the initial stage of why I did it. Now I'm on leaving behind something for people to follow in my footsteps and do what I do. So I'm setting up a bigger training centre now. Still the Amethyst Centre, but we're sort of doubling the size of the training function to bring on the next generation of complementary therapists, which I think is needed. We don't really have an independent provider of this in Coventry, so that's what my next step is.
Tell us about the Amethyst Center.
Okay, well, so basically, it is a complementary therapy and training centre, and we have, as you said, rooms for therapists to hire, and we provide training for them as well. I set it up. This is my place, my business, because in 2012, I was told I was 3 weeks from dying. I was having a bad reaction to some prescribed medication, which got me in hospital. And I was told that if I didn't stop taking the tablets, I would be dead in 3 weeks. And I obviously stopped taking the tablets. It took me about 18 months to get to recover from that, because I was in a pretty bad way. What I went through was very similar to what a lot of people went through with COVID, because I couldn't breathe, basically. And nobody knew what was up with me until the head cardiologist recognized what was happening. So I eventually got to the stage where I could think about what I was going to do next. And basically, I turned to a picture of the Archangel Michael, which was in my home office, and said, "Right, now what? Bring it on, I'm ready." And that started the process that got me to the Amethyst Centre. I was sitting in the meeting, waiting for it to start, and the meeting leader said to me, "Right, Chris, so what goals have you set yourself for the next year?" And I said, "Oh, I don't set goals, really. I have rheumatoid arthritis, so every time I try and set a goal, my body sort of conspires against me and I end up not fulfilling it. And he said, right, well, let me ask you this. What would you say you would do if you knew that just by saying it, it would succeed? And the next thing I said was, oh, I'd have my own therapy center. And the next thing I said was, where did that come from? Because it wasn't on my list. No, it wasn't on the bucket list. I didn't want to do it. It wasn't something that I'd, you know, I thought all my life I wanted to do this. But I thought, instead of thinking what a ridiculous thing to say, Chris, I thought, we'll just leave that there for a bit, park that there. And a few weeks later, I was, I'd just been to the bank actually, and I was crossing the road, and instead of looking towards where I'd parked the car, I looked in the opposite direction and saw that there's a to let sign. And I thought, oh, now that looks a good place for a therapy centre. Wow. It's in the right place. I might make inquiries about that. So I did. And the landlord rung me up a few days later and said, what do you want to do with it? So I told him. And he said, well, that's what I want to do. And at this point, my jaw hit the floor and bounced.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said, but I don't want to do it. I want to work with somebody who does want to do it. And I thought, well, that's me then. So that started the journey. But I was still a bit, iffy about this. I hadn't fully committed myself, really. And I began having a series of dreams. So I dreamt what the place looked like from inside, you know, the view from the reception desk, the view into one of the rooms. And then I had another dream, which was about going to hell and finding the way out. And I walked through the door out of hell and found myself outside the Amethyst Centre. And there was an angel with me who actually opened the door for me. And he said, you are, it was something like, this is payback for being allowed to live. Now, your role is to give people a taste of heaven, whether it be for 3 minutes or 30 minutes or for the rest of their lives. This is what you have to do now. And so the Amethyst Centre, that's the point. I thought, well, that's obviously why I'm here, you know, why I was allowed to live. So that's when I put all my effort into creating that place.
Wow.
And it's still going 6 years later.
Amazing. Tell us a little bit about crystals.
Oh, well, you got, what's that, selenite?
Yeah, it's selenite, and I have rose quartz.
Okay, yeah.
I always do this. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about crystals and the power of them and a little bit about how they work.
Well, they have different attributes, but sometimes they work on the power of resonance. So they have vibrations, and every colour has a vibration, doesn't it? So say you have your yellow as a particular frequency. So if you've got a yellow crystal, vibrates at the frequency of that yellow. And if you put it on like the solar plexus chakra, which is yellow, then that uses the law of entrainment to raise the vibrations of the yellow in your solar plexus chakra to clear that chakra. That's one example. Each crystal has a diva that you can work with, or a spirit. There's another word for it. You can use the crystals. You can put Reiki power into them, or you know, spiritual power into them, and program them so they release their powers when needed, or when you ask them to. It's part of the power behind magic crystal wands. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about magic wands and saying, oh, I have magic wands. I have plenty of magic wands because I've got lots of crystal wands. And that's where magic wands come from.
My daughter has a magic wand that she got from the Harry Potter store. And I tell you, if that thing comes up missing, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. And a crystal will work with you if it wants to work with you. If it doesn't, it will either break or it will lose itself.
Really? Now they say you also need to clear the crystals, and then how do you clean them? You put them in sunlight?
Depends on the crystal, because sometimes sunlight will bleacher crystal, like a citrine or an amethyst. If you put it in strong sunlight, it will fade. So it's not really a good idea to put crystals like that in sunlight. You can clean them in running water. You can actually bury them in earth and put them back into the earth to recharge and
Oh, really?
cleanse. Oh yeah. It's best to put them into a pot because they do move. I have buried a crystal once and I never found it again. So
Really?
yeah. So yeah, you have to be careful with that. Or you can put them in moonlight.
I mean, I thought that they were an energy source, that
Yeah.
they direct the energy, but I didn't know that they could do all these other magical powers.
Oh, I haven't scratched the surface. I mean, they just do all sorts of things, you
Wow.
know. And I once did a healing with crystal healing with somebody in a darkened room, and I have one of my what I call a laser wand with me, and I actually saw the blue light coming out of the tip of this crystal wand because of the light conditions were correct. So yeah, they have some wonderful powers. You know, it's
So
just.
you've worked that, and Reiki.
Yeah.
I've had Reiki done,
Yeah.
and it's amazing. Now, but I need to be in the room with my practitioner. Okay?
Okay.
I really need to feel that. And I've tried to do Reiki myself when I give my husband a massage. And I really feel, I don't know how to direct it, and I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I feel the energy, I feel the movement, and I see his reaction, and I see how he feels rejuvenated afterwards. I am not drained afterwards. It is just an amazing, amazing tool. And it's just popped up with maybe a pop become popular, should I say that, within like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Everybody is into really Reiki. What is that, and what is the charge? Why are people drawn to
Yeah.
Reiki?
Well, Reiki really is a spiritual practice. It's originally from Japan, but primarily it is a spiritual practice. You need to be attuned to Reiki in order to do it properly. It's a form of spiritual healing, but it's a spiritual practice with a beautiful side effect of spiritual healing, if you like. Reiki, the word stands for universal life force. Basically, that's how it translates. So we're basically tapping into the energy of the universe, and channeling it, if you like, and enlarging it and enhancing it so that the person themselves can heal with it, or not if they choose not to. It's got to be their choice all the time.
Well, after I got my first session, I walked out and I was just, it's an energy massage, brains with your clothes on. It's really
Oh
cool.
yeah.
And the person that was next to me was a Reiki teacher, and she
Yeah.
wasn't the one that gave me the massage. And she says, "You want to be careful with this power." And I said, "Why?" She says, "Because you've been recharged." She says,
Yeah.
"You want to be careful because you've opened yourself up so vulnerably. And there are energy thieves. There are people that want to steal your energy and want to steal your
Yeah.
power. So you need to be careful with the person that you actually do your Reiki with. It's not like just having, like going to a massage center and just any therapist comes out. You want to have a
Yeah.
personal relationship with the person that's doing the Reiki. Would you agree?
Yes, in fact, that's one of the things that makes any complementary therapy so powerful is that it's the relationship you have with your therapist. And that's why at the center, yes, we have all these people working from the center and we allow duplication of therapies. Some centers don't. They say we have, say, one aromatherapist, one Reiki practitioner. We don't care. You know, the more the merrier, because we would rather people go to see another practitioner of the same art in the centre rather than go somewhere else. So if they want to come and see one of my students instead of me, that's perfectly fine. My students each have their own different gifts that they come to Reiki with anyway. The most amazing practitioner I've trained up is actually a Hindu. And she has the Gayatri mantra tattooed across her shoulders. And when I did the first attunement with her, I could just feel this sucking in the energy. And there was just like I was a generator, and she was a plug, if you like. It was just pouring into her body through the Gayatri Mantra. So I actually sat her down afterwards and said, now, suppose you tell me what happened, because I'm not sure. So she's just, because she's of Hindu, got a Hindu background, and she has access to sort of other things that I don't, if that makes sense. She has other traditions to call on and other sources of energy to call on that I don't. And that's fantastic. That's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So now we don't want to conclude this interview without talking about the podcast. What made you start a podcast? Because I'm telling you, podcasting is not for sissies. You've got to be dedicated. You've got to be committed. You've got to have great guests, ask great questions. And you now are a source of information. You are an influencer, an impactor. Tell me a little bit about your podcast and, you know, what the goal is.
Well, it's called Walking the Path. And the idea was, when we went into lockdown in the UK, I just started to teach a spiritual development group at the centre. And I really wanted to make sure that this group had some continuing input. So that was the start of it. And I started working with Gary, who's a local lad. He does the producing and the techie side, because I'm not techie. And he's actually also really into spirituality and all sorts of things, does Tai Chi and yoga himself. So I decided that I'd put a wish list together of who to approach. So I approached a couple of my students and some of the therapists at the centre. And I also approached my rock hero, guitarist Steve Hackett, because in his autobiography, which I read, it was saying that he does spiritual healing. He's a spiritual healer. And I approached also one of my sporting heroes, who was Paul Smith. Now, this guy retired from cricket through injury, and he went to America, to Compton, no less, to teach the kids in Compton how to play cricket.
Wow.
And he went to the townships in South Africa to do the same. And that was interesting. And they all said yes. And the podcast I did with Steve Hackett, I just think that's one of the standouts of my life, to be honest, because I never thought I'd get the chance to have such a chat with such a rock star.
Wow.
And he really is a rock star, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the last person I spoke to was, Mitchell Wheeler. He's a young guy. He's a yoga teacher. And he goes to places like Costa Rica to do retreats, and he's talking about ayahuasca. So I was thinking, that's for you, mate. That's not for me.
Another guest from Australia that is there, right there, and she is all into that. And I'm like, and here in the United States, they're trying to legalize magic mushrooms. So ayahuasca is, you know, to go on this, I use this term, a psychedelic trip.
Yeah.
To uncover who you are, or who you're, release self-limiting beliefs or reduce trauma. Wow. I mean, you know, that takes courage.
It takes courage.
Most people just go on a psychedelic trip because they want to be high and just want to be outside of themselves. But when you step out and you do something like that to really find yourself, that is, that's bold. Could you do that?
No.
I don't think I have the courage either.
No, I prefer to sort of lose myself in music and things like that. So I'm just not in my youth I might have taken a different approach, shall we say. At the moment, no, I have enough to do with pharmaceutical drugs, I'm afraid, you know.
but plant medicine, I'm telling you, people are really doing that for psychotherapy. They really are. They really are. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Chris. If they want to listen to the podcast, I'm definitely going to attach the link. If you're looking for great guests and opportunities to speak, I want you to talk to Chris. And also how to come into the Amethyst Center and get worked on.
Yeah. Well, the Amethyst Center is in Coventry in the UK. The website is amethystcenter.com. And you can email me at hello@hello, by the way, hello at amethystcentre.com. The podcast, you can find it on Apple and Spotify and all sorts of places. It's called Walking the Path. You might find it as Walking the Path with Chris Ramsbottom. Yeah, so just email me and we'll work something out. If you want to talk to me about your spiritual path and what tips you'd want to give people from your experience of spirituality, then get in touch. I'd love to talk to you.
Well, I am going to send you a plethora of great guests, potential guests that would love to talk to you. They want to get their message out, and they connect with you on so many levels, from Reiki to hypnotherapy to EFT, emotional freedom technique. Do you do that as well?
I don't, but we do have people who do at the center. Yeah.
So there is so much to delve into, and I thank you for, working with me and being here on the edge to talk to my brains about what you're doing in the world. It's so important to explore different modalities. A lot of times we have been tunnel vision, or we've been taught, we've been bullied, we've been forced, we've been pressured to do one thing and never explore other things. You never know. Yeah. There's a whole new world of possibility out there, brains, and I'm here to help you discover that if I can and if you'll allow me. So again, thank you so much for being so gracious, Chris. And please come back to the edge. Keep me informed on what's going on. I'd love to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me. Bless you.
Bye, brains. Have an amazing day.